Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast, the DDP for the 23rd of May. I'm your host, Paul White. We're journeying through Galatians chapter 5, actually the whole book of Galatians. We're just in Galatians 5, this big walking in the Spirit passage from verses 16 to 26. Today we are in the 19th verse, in which Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are," then a colon, "and then a bunch of stuff." Now, some of these, at least two of these, were not in the oldest Greek manuscripts. Let's start from the top. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Adultery and murder, the first one listed in 19, the second one listed in 21, not in the earliest Greek manuscripts. I don't know if that's worth obsessing over. It's probably a later scribal addition. It was not uncommon for there to be scribal additions as the years unfolded, where scribes, either things were misheard, miswritten, and there are some evidences of some blatant additions in the scribal texts by scribes who thought things needed better clarification. So perhaps at the top of the list, when you see fornications, which in the Greek is not the word fornication, the Greek word in verse 19 for fornication is sexual immorality. Perhaps Paul, I'm not as concerned with why Paul doesn't use the word adultery as I am with why the scribes added it. Paul says sexual immorality. For Paul, that might include all things sexually impure. Speculative, of course, but a scribe comes along later and thinks, well, we might need to specify that adultery is included, and so he puts the word adultery. Murders is added later on, too. Again, I don't know why. It's hard for me to imagine that someone was arguing pro-murder, and so a scribe thought they needed to add it in. I'm only telling you all this because I think it's fair, if you're students of the Bible, to hear these little facts as you go through. These are the works of the flesh. Paul calls them evident. What I think Paul means by that, and we don't know for sure, what I think Paul means by evident is... these are obviously not the activities of the Holy Spirit in a new creation reality. These are the activities of our flesh in an old covenant reality. Evidently, what we will end up doing if we live according to Hagar, remember that's stretching us all the way back to Galatians 4, which is not that far ago, not that long ago. By going back to Hagar and the Ishmael and the works of performance, here's the evident things that are going to come out in you: sexual immorality and uncleanness and lewdness and idolatry and sorcery. We cover the gamut. There's everything from sexual uncleanness to just, you know, physical lewdness and filth that might be in the way that we dress, worshiping other gods, black magic, hating one another, fighting with each other, being jealous with each other, showing outbursts of public rage, having internal selfish ambition, all of these things, drunkenness, revelries, this is public parties and the like, all, he kind of covers a lot of stuff. He covers how we treat our neighbor. He covers how we treat ourselves. He covers our personal ambitions and desires and the driving forces inside of us. And he says all of these things evidently can be and are influenced negatively by a return to the more tangible, aka flesh, the more tangible covenant. And for a Jew, the most tangible covenant is that of Moses. Abraham's is mysterious and mystical and invisible. It's from above. It's what Paul calls a new covenant. You don't see it or taste it or touch it or feel it. And it's not even of Jerusalem now. It's of a Jerusalem you can't see. It's also called the kingdom of God. If you go back into that fleshly realm of self and effort and works, you're going to end up with this junk, this self-evident junk in your life. And it's not good for you. And you don't need to be a Bible scholar to know that sexual impurity and uncleanness and lewdness and idolatry and sorcery and hatred, etc., 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 for three solid verses, all lead to chaos. They are all poison for you. None of them make you less righteous. Paul doesn't threaten their righteousness. He does say to them, they can't inherit the kingdom walking in them. And we've already been into that once. We'll get into that more tomorrow. But it's Paul saying, out of the activities of an old covenant will never come the life of a new covenant. Because all this junk is death. And you're supposed to already be dead. Remember Colossians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul doesn't assume that in the flesh is bad. He says, I live this life in the flesh. You live it in the flesh, but you don't live it according to fleshly means. You live in a natural body, but you don't govern yourself by the natural principle of the world. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. If you live according to that, it is evident that chaos comes out. What kind of chaos? Sexual immorality and idolatry and sorcery and murders and hatred and public anger and drunkenness and three verses of etc. This is what will come out of a life lived according to the fleshly means of the world. The opposite would be the kingdom. Now tomorrow, we'll jump back into the end of 21, where Paul talks about not inheriting the kingdom. There's some awesome stuff there. We'll see you then. God bless.